Amen. One of the benefits to the congregation of having an ordained minister serving in the pulpit is that I can look into things that you don't have to. So you can go spend your time doing useful stuff like learning new skills for your jobs, or planting a garden, or taking up a new hobby, working on your finances. And I can go and learn all sorts of strange stuff. So today, you're going to wonder, what am I doing with my time learning about Bible Man? Bible Man is indeed real. He was created in 1995 and had a 15-year run. He was then revived and now is an animated series that you can get on DVD. Bible Man, as you can guess, draws on scripture and he fights the forces of darkness. It will not surprise you that Bible Man speaks to a more evangelical bent of Christian than us, but he has as his costume and the tools of his trade exactly what we read about here in Ephesians 6, the whole armor of God. He is ready to wage spiritual battle. Now, that's not something we mainline Christians often think about. We probably want to go spend our time thinking about feeding the hungry, or witnessing in favor of immigrant rights, or just focusing on our worship services. Spiritual battle sounds like something out of the 50s, the 1650s. But, we can laugh at Bible Man and an evangelical approach to scripture. We can laugh at the bad production values. We can laugh at stories that seem to be trying a little too hard. But there's something we can learn from here. Because the fact is, you and I are indeed engaged in spiritual battle every single day. And we need to be ready. We need to be armed and ready. Now, some people here may not like this language. They might not like this imagery. And they would just assume it go all away. Sorry, scripture doesn't work that way. We're not like Thomas Jefferson with a knife where we cut out all the passages we don't like. We have to take the text and grapple with it and figure out what it is trying to tell us. Now, I will say this right now. While I don't believe our faith is a blanket call to pacifism, this passage should not be seen as endorsing holy war. There's nothing here about going out and fighting the heathen or slaying the infidel. Something very different is going on here. The people getting this letter in Ephesus, in Asia Minor in the first century or early second century, did not know anything but the Roman Empire. And they were used to seeing Roman soldiers all over the place. They were the people who maintained order and kept the peace. So when they heard this description, they knew exactly what was going on. We, however, don't. So a little bit of explanation along the way, I hope, will help us appreciate this text. You should know that everything that is described here is essentially defensive in its nature. This is not about someone who is armed to go out and wage war and take the offensive. This is about someone who is wearing defensive clothing. And we need to defend ourselves in a hostile world. That was true in the first century, in the second century, and it's true today. Our values, our Christian values, are not those of society. And though many here may remember a day when we lived in something called Christendom, the truth is, if we look at our political leaders, if we look at our entertainment, if we look at our literature, Christianity is yesterday's news. And different values are being promoted. And different values are clamoring for our attention. And this text is telling us, just as it did the Ephesians, you need to arm yourselves. You need to be ready to stand your ground. So how do we do that? Well, first, we put on the belt of truth. And despite what some people have tried to tell us recently, the truth is truth. Okay? We know that in Jesus. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And even though the truth might sometimes be obfuscated and it might be hidden, and sometimes people try to turn it into something it's not, Jesus Christ is the same today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow. So if we arm ourselves with this core knowledge, we will have a guidepost, something that we can hold on to as we make our way forward. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, I don't know how often we all reach for the breastplate of righteousness. My suspicion is that we'd be more inclined to go for the breastplate of self-righteousness. Right? We all know, I'll put that in quotation marks, that everything in the world would be okay if everybody else believed what I believed. I'm right and you're wrong, and all you need to do is follow my lead. That's not the way things work. Righteousness, we remember from the Hebrew Bible, is loving justice and mercy and walking humbly with our God. It is following the example of Jesus. It is following somebody else's lead. And we need to remember that. Then we put on our feet shoes for the gospel of peace. And I love this idea of shoes because as we are proclaiming the gospel of peace, we are on a journey. We're traveling a road. We're following the path of Jesus. The gospel of peace is not the Bible. Remember, when this letter was written, nobody knew what the New Testament was. It didn't exist. The gospel of peace is the good news of peace. It is the good news that was revealed to the world in Jesus. And our job is to remember that and to share that with others. The helmet of salvation. Now, I know you've got a lot of really good ideas up in your head. And put together, we can come up with some pretty good answers to our problems. But the truth is, we don't have all the answers. And we need God's help. And God came to us in Jesus, and to use the old language, he saved us, he redeemed us, and we need to remember that. Finally, a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, an offensive weapon, something I can use to beat up my enemies and go on the attack. But what kind of sword are we talking about here? Are you thinking of a Japanese katana? Or maybe a scimitar? Perhaps you're a little sports-minded and you're thinking of an epee and you're using it in the Olympics? Or a Viking longsword? Why don't we think about what the Romans actually had? Which was a two-edged blade, and it was a fairly short sword. And any soldier who found himself having to use this most likely would have been on the defensive. The word of God, the sword of that Spirit, is not only meant to be taken out into the world, we need to be reminded of it ourselves. Arming ourselves to be ready to live in a world that is not hospitable to the Christian message is something that we don't often think about. And we're probably thinking here, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to leave church today and go kill somebody. But we will sin. Perhaps we will gossip. Perhaps we will help ourselves to a few dollars from the office kitty or pad our expenses or have a couple of drinks too many or let loose with a mean word to somebody close to us. That, my friends, is sin. And the world we live in right now seems to be saying that kind of behavior is okay. It is not. It is not. We need to prepare ourselves to resist taking that first step. Because once you take the first step, it is easier to take the second and the third and the fourth. And we all know about the road to hell and how it is paved. Except here in Lebanon, where the paving seems to go on forever. One of the warnings that I think we need to be mindful of here is not to simply look at the threats from without, whether it is from other faith traditions or political ideologies, but we need to look at ourselves. Indeed, this weekend, the Pope is in Ireland in the midst of yet another eruption of the clergy sex abuse scandal. We don't need people to attack Christianity. We do a good enough job of it ourselves. So some humility is in order, and some centering is called for. And so this passage goes on and tells us to pray in the Spirit at all times, to keep alert and to persevere in supplication to all the saints. Do you pray? Do I pray? Probably not often enough. But that is how we can put on this guard. We can defend ourselves. We can be armed and ready to carry forth the gospel of peace, to share it with one another here, and to share it with our neighbors out in the wider world.